Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to The Doctor Is In with me, Dr. Dinothra Archer Cartwright. I'm a family medicine specialist. And we talk all things health, wellness, and things that pertain generally to the Bahamian society. Live on Facebook, The Doctor Is In with me, Dr. D. I think Guardian Talk Radio app as well. So we are here tonight to talk to you about a variety of different things. I hope everyone heard me. I can never hear the intro on this side for some strange reason. It just kind of stopped coming in a few months ago. But yes, thank you for joining the show with me, Dr. D. Tonight, of course, brought to you by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical healthcare needs. You can check us out on Facebook and on Instagram. Medical Concierge Services, and if you check Instagram, it's going to be medical_concierge_services. We are a fully functioning family medicine clinic. We do NHI as well as a variety of different things. So you can also check out our website, www.mcsfamilymedicine.com. If you're trying to reach us, 326-1521. Of course, there's our WhatsApp line, 432-4010. And that can be really helpful, especially if you want to sign up for NHI. I've got a couple of spots, and then I'm going to close, and maybe I would open that up later. But we also have Dr. Cooper, who works with us. So give us a call. Send us a shout. All right. So tonight, the topic that I was going to really talk about is basically men's health and some tips for men, which we'll probably get into a little bit later on the show. But there were some things that I thought were important to just kind of talk about. It just been going through my mind. And I always kind of go where people say the spirit. I just kind of go where, I guess, my thoughts lead me. And I think it's super important because just looking around the country, I had to think about what's happening in the sense of the country and how we are living as a people, and just kind of the state of our lives, and really what is going on here. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that are going on, and everything from the cost of living to loss in our cultural identity, as well as, you know, societal changes and struggles that are happening. And I think Bahamians are really at a really difficult time. And I think the whole world is kind of going through very difficult time right now. And we're all kind of on the precipice of some type of change, whether it be good or bad. And we have to figure out where and how we're going to live our lives. And it's getting very, very hard. You know, I go to the food store and I thank God, you know, I am blessed, but I really wonder sometimes how a lot of people are making it through. And it makes you think about why people make the decisions that they make in life, and what does that mean? This led me to kind of look back, and I'm going to open the lines pretty early tonight if you want to jump in, and we'll talk about some men's health stuff. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-425. Now, how are you feeling about where we are as a country, as a people, and how you feeling about it? I just have this really uneasy feeling. And I would say that, you know, I'm a person who has strived and done my best in life. You know, I made it through the odds. I'm the product of a single mother who did her best for me, sent me to really great schools. I think some of the best in the country. educated me. She was one of she was like the first one in her immediate family to be educated. And really, we broke what I would call some milestones and what I consider glass ceilings. And, you know, it's becoming harder and harder for people to kind of break those personal glass ceilings in their life or in the community at large, I feel. And that's not really like a good thing. And so you might say, like, what are you talking about, Dr. Archer? What are you talking about, this idea of a glass ceiling? Well, previously, it was a definition that they use as just like barriers to upward mobility. And it was mostly for women and, you know, in organizational structures or minorities. But in a general sense in the Bahamas, is it just me or do other people feel like there are these glass ceilings? And why they use the word glass ceilings is there's nothing really like there. It's nothing that you can see. But there's almost like a point that you can only go so far somewhat. I think there's a lot of people who have monopolized the best things in this country, and there seems to be very little space for growth. And I think it's one of the things that has kept the country kind of stagnant for the past 20, 30 years. During the time of majority rule and Bahamianization, there was really a lot of growth in the Bahamian community. You had Bahamians coming out of almost abject poverty and the beginning of a middle class. We've seen the middle class shrink in the last 10, 15, 20 years because of policies and changing environments, cultural changes, lots of different things. We've never had another revolution of a sense of moving us to the next level. And so what's keeping us back? What's keeping us there? What are these glass ceilings that seem to be containing the Bahamian people? Where are the Bahamian millionaires? Where are the Bahamian innovators and thought leaders? And there may be some, but I know a lot of exceptional and amazing people who just seem to not able to reach their potential. So is that just something around the world? Is that a cultural thing? Or are there these invisible barriers that keep us all in check? And who is responsible for that? That's what I've really been thinking about the last few months, I guess. You know, As I said, I've been privileged to, you know, become a doctor. I've worked hard. I've become one of the youngest consultants at PHA, you know, at my time, you know, before the age of 40. These are all really what I consider great accomplishments. And so I am considering myself a person that really pushes hard to do his best. But I've always had to work extremely hard against the odds. And working hard is not a bad thing. But what does that mean in the bigger sense? What I'm trying to say is I didn't have this feeling when I was in places like Canada. I felt that I could be all that I could be and more. And so to be in my home country and see the way things are in this billion-dollar economy and that we don't have more Bahamians rising up, it just makes me think, what are these glass ceilings? And so these are the things that I've been thinking about. And it's led me to a couple of things. First, I had a look back, and for those of you who have done any study in sociology or psychology, you'll know about Maslow. Maslow talks about a hierarchy of our needs, and I think this starts to tie into how we start thinking about ourselves and our world and how we intentionally move from one stage of our life to another. So Maslow speaks about five hierarchies of needs. And he looks at it almost in a pyramid model. And this is the most simplistic way to me of looking at what people require in life to both survive and to thrive. And so Maslow talks first about your physiological needs. And these are the basics: air, water, shelter, food, sleep, you know, clothing, and just, you know, the access to being able to reproduce. And these are the basic needs that he feels like every human being needs just to survive in the world. Next, he looks at safety, and he looks at people needing to have personal security, having, you know, employment, resources, health, and some form of property. The next thing up the list is love and belonging, friendship, intimacy, family, a sense of connection. And then the fourth stage would be self-esteem, respect, status, recognition, strength, freedom. And then the final stage he calls self-actualization. And this is firmly the desire to become the most that you can be. And I think this is the stage that we all start to think about our purpose in life. And I have a little clip later on I'll play, but, you know, purpose in life becomes important once you fulfill those needs. I think it's hard to think of purpose and the greater good if you're stuck. Now, over the years, other scientists have looked at Maslow's hierarchy, and they've agreed and they've disagreed. But there is a lot of information and studies that show that there is a correlation between these things and happiness. But there, it isn't quite as black and white as Maslow may have presented to us, because you can have a mixture of these different needs or a hierarchy of needs at different times. In other words, you may not have all your physiological needs, but you may feel love and a sense of connection with people. You might have a sense of safety, but you don't have all of the physiological needs that you desire. But for a human being to be its full self, to reach self-actualization, we need those things. And we're coming to a point in the country where those physiological needs are becoming so hard to reach, even for some of the most average people. Air, water, food, shelter, sleep, clothing, reproduction. The cost of food, the cost of finding some place to live, a home, buying a property, these basic needs are becoming out of the reach of the average behemoth. And that is quite a scary thought, because we've always thought of ourselves more in the sense of the first world rather than the third world country, even though we have our struggles. So what does this mean for the Bahamas and our people when we should be at the level of self-actualization, but we see people struggle every day with these physiological needs? Resources in this country seem abundant. We see the wealth, we see the money all around us, but we can't seem to get enough behemoths to tap into that wealth, to tap into those resources in a way so that they can be healthy, they can prosper, they can be fulfilled with love and belonging in their life, and they cannot self-actualize. I'm concerned about that, because that is a part of a person's overall well-being. And we seem to be getting further and further away from these basic needs each and every day. So the lines may be blurred, but I do feel that those principles are still very, very important and definitely make up what we need in order to be not just surviving, but to thrive in our own self. So I want to focus on self-actualization, which is this feeling of being fulfilled, feeling that we are living up to our potential. One unique feature of self-actualization is that it looks different for everyone. For one person, self-actualization might involve helping others. For another person, it may involve achievements in their field, their creative field. Essentially, self-actualization means feeling that we are doing what we believe we are meant to do. And according to Maslow, achieving self-actualization is relatively rare. And his example is a famous person such as Abraham Lincoln, Albert Einstein, Mother Teresa. These people reached their full potential, their ideal goal of what they wanted to be as a human being. So how do we progress through all of that? How do you get to the point to have the freedom in life to be what you want to be? It requires simple things. And I think what we've learned over the last 3 to 4 years is some of these basic things that I'm going to talk about, these fundamentals that we need as the building blocks of our lives, were easily taken away, such as freedom of speech, freedom of expression, living in a just and fair society. These are some of the most basic tenets of what is required for us to be able to pursue our needs and eventually work towards self-actualization. These things make it easier for you to achieve your needs. And without these basic rights, where would we be as people? And so we have to think more deeply about our life and the world and the things around us. Because when these things are being attacked, it is an attack on our own needs, our own requirements for life. These are attacks on the things that are the building blocks that take us from just living our lives and surviving to thriving. And so they're important. And I think a lot of people are stuck in searching for their physiological needs and they don't have time to think about this. But what does this mean for our country as a whole? These are the things that go through my mind. And I think perhaps it's because I've been able to flow through some of these steps, and I'm at the point where I am searching for that purpose, that one thing that you feel that you were put on this earth to do. And I think that's how we achieve our self-actualization. So when we think about self-actualization and this hierarchy of needs, we realize that to move through these steps, we have to search within ourselves and determine what we want in our lives. So part of that. Defining self-actualization, according to Maslow, is the ability to become the best version of oneself. This is the tendency to be phrased as a desire to become more and more what one is and to become everything that one is capable of. So really is a high sense of being. And it almost seems unachievable at times when you think about the fact that we are free but not free. In many senses, many things hold us down as people. Many things control our lives, things that we give control to our lives too, and things we have no control of. And so being successful may not just be enough to be self-actualized. We are still somehow limited in our capacity to be who we truly are in this world. And I think over the last few years, we've seen that quite a bit. And so I want to play a clip because I think the bigger step or the more mindful understanding of self-actualization is purpose. And so I turn to Dr. Miles Monroe, who talks a lot about purpose. And I've listened to a lot of his videos and read a few of his books. And he speaks greatly about purpose and the fact that God, if you believe in God, has put us all here for a reason. And that we are builders of this world. And there's something within us that is sending us to do something. And it's just our way of life to kind of figure out what that is and to make it happen. And that's what gives us meaning in this world. So I'm going to play a clip because he talks about the three things that are related to purpose. I mean, he has a lot of great videos on this, but I recently just listened to this and it's a fairly short clip of kind of like the three components to all of this. So producer, if you could play the Miles clip, that would be great. Let me know when you do, because I can't hear anything. I guess I should have set him up to do that, but Hopefully you'll get that into play. But so, yeah, he got my message. So we're going to play this clip from Dr. Miles Monroe. I want everybody to hear. We got it, Mr. Producer?
Right? All right. How do you know what your destiny is? Write this down. I'm going to tell you right now. Number one, go out and buy my book called Authority. Number two, go out and buy my book called The Power of Vision. Look at the last chapter. Number three, go out and buy my book, Discovering Purpose. And look at chapter 4, 5, 6, and 7. Number five, go out and buy my book, Understanding Your Potential. All these books tell you how to find your destiny. But for the sake of those who don't like to read, I will give you three of the principles. Number one, your purpose and your destiny is whatever makes you angry. That's your purpose and your destiny. Your anger is your purpose and your destiny. What do you mean, Dr. Monroe? Well, whatever makes you angry, you're supposed to fix. Everyone was born to solve a problem. Every time you see the problem, you become angry. No one else becomes angry, just you. That's a sign that that's your area of destiny. So go find your anger. Every great woman and man was angry, all of them. Hallelujah. Number two, how do you find your destiny? What would you do for no paycheck? Let me say it another way. What would you do without compensation? What would you do if you never get paid to do it? That's your destiny. Because destiny doesn't work for money. Mm-hmm. That's why a person who found their destiny don't have a job. Because destiny is not a job. It's an assignment. Bill Gates was talking to someone. They asked him, what is the key to your success? He said, I found something I love to do more than money. I love to invent things. It's my passion. And what I invent solves problems. Number three, finally, what is your destiny? Your destiny is your passion. Every human has passion, but our culture hides it. Our culture says, pursue a career for paychecks, not for passion. And so you live just to survive, not to make a difference.
Okay, I think that's the end of that. So three really simple things that you talked about. You talked about what makes you angry. And I find that there's a lot of things that make us all angry in this country. But we just talk about it. You know, you talked about passion, you know, and to me, to follow your passion, you either have to take great risks or you'll be in a comfortable state of mind. And so the things that he kind of talked about, you know, being able to solve problems and innovation and all of this stuff, it's being able to be in a place where you have the resources to follow your dreams and your passion in a way to solve problems. And so I put that, and I think about where we are as a country and the fact that we don't seem to be solving our issues, is that we may not have enough people who are passionate about the work that they're doing. You know, they're not angry enough about it. So we may just have the wrong people in charge sometimes, but the everyday Bahamian, it's very hard to get to that place and to contribute to the society when you're struggling with those lower needs. So that's something that we have to think about as a society. What do we want? What do we want our country to look at, our future to look at? And do we want to be continuously in survival mode, or do we want to be a place where the average Bahamian can thrive in his own country, in his own space, with his own land and with his own property, be content within his culture? So I think about all this stuff in a broader sense. And I think personally about my own experiences and what it means to me. And how do I step into that place? And so I thought that was really, really important, because I see where we're going and I see the problems that we're having, but I don't see a lot of things or being solved. I don't see a lot of passion towards the things that Bahamians are angry about every single day. And so there is a disconnect. There's a disconnect between all of that. And I understand that people aren't always in the place to be the good citizen they need to be, because you need to be at the level of self-actualization. And so I really wanted to get that out. I don't know if you guys have opinions on that. If you do want to join in the conversation, do you feel like you can reach your full potential in this country? Is it easy? Is it hard? I find it's hard to get things done. I have to always work very, very hard for simple, simple things. And I think that makes just the simple things that you're trying to do extremely challenging. It just always seems to be like a contest of obstacles. And not everybody has the fortitude to do that. And that is kind of like life, but I think we could make things better. I think if we focus on the problems, we can. So 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Have you found your purpose in life? Do you think it's easy to break glass ceilings? Are there any, and who are those gatekeepers? What's hard to do in the Bahamas that you feel like you can do elsewhere? These are the questions that I really kind of put out there for you guys. And we'll take a quick break, because I know I promised to talk about men's health. So we are going to do that tonight. But if you want to reach out and give us a call, give us your thoughts on our first segment, you can go ahead. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back, and we'll talk about a few tips for men's health. Especially because it's Father's Day coming out. So I'm going to send a shout out to all the fathers. It's so important to have great fathers. That's one of the big problems. We need good fathers to be involved. We have a caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Good evening, Dr. Archer.
Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I caught a portion of what you were saying when you started the show. Was very interested, though, because, you know, you played a portion of the late Dr. Miles Monroe, and as it relates to purpose must be clearly defined. And I was very interested what he had to say about if you expect to reach your true potential. But I agree with you 100%. It is difficult to get anything, a whole lot of things done in the Bahamas, because It's always, it's always a situation where you, as in your own country, finding it most difficult to get anything done when someone can come from elsewhere, you know, and just swing a briefcase, which can be literally empty, but can get everything done. And you, as a behemoth, on the average behemoth, trying to make ends meet and strides in your country, and it becomes so complicated. Sometimes I often wonder how people who with less means than I have, or do they actually make it?
So why do you think your
opening comment on your show was very, very inspiring, and it's very.
Why do you think we're here? I don't know if he's still there. You're still there, caller? Okay, I think we lost him. I didn't cut you. But yeah, definitely, caller. I mean, I consider myself blessed. I've worked hard. I'm a doctor. I'm doing as best as I can and striving and, you know, doing all kinds of things. But I see it. I see it out there. I see that it's hard. And I think there are a lot of unnecessary obstacles. And I think certain people basically suck the whole country dry, and they leave very little for the average Bahamian. And then we do seem to be more encouraged to bring people in and make their dreams come true rather than focusing on what we can do here, which would make more sense for the Bahamas to keep that potential, to keep those benefits here in the country. And I know that, you know, we've had some improvements. There have been improvements on access to capital and all those things. But even when you start going through those different systems, they make it very, very hard for the average person to make it through. So we look really good on paper sometimes, but is it real? We have another caller. Caller, you're on the air. Hello, caller.
Hi, Dr. Archer. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. Great topic today. Happy to hear this because I just was having a discussion with someone with this earlier today. See, the issue in the Bahamas is systems. We need to do a restructuring of our systems, especially when it comes to applications, processing, businesses, especially our small businesses. I would say for the last 2 years, the cost of doing business in this country has went up at least 40%. If you do not have the financial means to hire a corporate service provider or an attorney, the littlest thing that you need with regards to your business where you have to go through the government, you are going to have help. And I do believe a lot of these various agencies, they are overcharging the small businessman to do the simplest application for them. They're charging them $200, $300. And I do understand that everybody has to make a living, but we were on the right track when we created the Inland Revenue portal. We was on the right track for that. However, I don't know, in the last 2.5 years, but they came out with a lot of unnecessary policies that has really, really hindered small and micro businesses to the point that many of our Bahamian persons are considering either to operate legally or to shut down their businesses. You can't ask for personal banking information for a company because the company is its own person. You can't tell a business that, okay, I will be putting your real property's tax bill onto your business if you want to get your business license renewed, because the onus should not be on the business. That's a personal matter, because a business is a business entity on its own. And those things, what they're doing is making it very, very, very hard for persons trying to enter into the orange economy or just trying to get into the corporate sector where they're trying to have a small business. I do believe it's a systematic attack on the Bahamian people, and it's very difficult. Until we get things correct with policy, we're going to keep the same conversation, Dr. Archer, over and over again. We could compare to Canada, the United States, wherever in the world, but you have to understand that they have the systems in place to make it easier. And we'll just be back at the same conversation again next year if we don't make those corrections. And I know someone commented, I don't know if it was you or the other caller, who said that if someone wealthy comes over, they get things done easily. That's not true. I do IBCs all the time. Foreign investors get taxed to the max sometimes when they have to take their things into the, just make an application. Sometimes they have to come up with $5,000 down or even more. You know, so when they have to go to the investment board, see, all these things we have to look at, because everybody is getting it. The foreign investor is getting it. The local Bahamian is getting it. We just need to make it more easier for the business sector, especially our small businesses, because they are, I know it's a cliche thing to say, but they are the life and breath in the community, especially when it comes to small islands, islands that are trying to get back on track from the pandemic and the hurricanes such as Abaco and Grand Bahama. Small businesses were the lifeline for those communities and those islands. So you have to do something with regards to the system, put better systems in place, put better policies in place so we can make it easier for our Bahamians. And that's my 5 cents on this topic.
Yeah, great comments, caller. Yes. All right, that was awesome. And I totally agree with you, because I think that legitimate business goes through too much. All right. You know, I think when people talk about foreigners getting in, you know, we've seen some of the weird deals that get done, and you wonder, how did that person so quickly get through the process when, you know, there's legitimate business that has so many issues that they go through, you know? So I think it's a give and take. And I think for some reason there is quite an attack on business, especially small business. And it's usually small businesses that develop into medium-sized businesses, which create wealth in the economy for the average Bahamian. And I think the approach to that kind of shifts with leadership. And we need some type of, you know, long-term direction of where we want to go with that. There should be benefits to being a small business owner or business owner in general, so that you can kind of incentivize more people to join the market and to help to spur the economy. And we need to do that. And it's not just, you know, providing sometimes capital and money, but it's some of the logistics, some of the systems, as the caller talked about, and just making those simpler. I think this last cycle of business, it was very rough on small and medium-sized businesses, because some of the things that were implemented, thank you, caller, just did not make sense. And it was just, she talked about, you know, the bank statements, all of this stuff. It's just all of this mistrust or looking for additional money or something. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on. But it has to really be revamped. So on the business side of it, definitely, I agree, and I see where those things are problematic and will cause a lot of people are to go a little underground in terms of when they think about, do I need a business license? I think too, what you see on both scopes, so we talked about the higher end person coming in and creating a business. On the lower end, we see immigrants coming in and not doing anything legally, and just kind of letting them coast by. And so comparatively, Bahamians are also looking at those types of things too and wondering, you know, why am I going through all of this stuff? So I think making that process easier, incentivizing being in business. Your electricity bill is higher if you're a business. It's so crazy. It's so many things. So it's almost like you're putting all this extra stress on small businesses that don't really make a lot of money. You know, a lot of people are working to pay their employees, working to create some type of value for themselves and trying to pursue their dreams and to fulfill their purposes. So I think we really need to look at that to have growth in the country, definitely a business aspect. Why is it so hard to grow in this country? Why is it so hard to fulfill your potential? I would say, you know, as a student in Canada, I always felt like I could do whatever I wanted to do. If I asked somebody, if I told them I wanted to do this, they just told me how to get it done, and that was it. It seemed much more simple pathways, you know. And I think we need to look at that if we want to grow as a country. So we had some really great comments on those things. And I was glad to hear a female voice because the women don't call as often. So thank you, caller. Good to hear from you. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Are there glass ceilings in the Bahamas that are keeping the average Bahamian from reaching their full potential of success? Are there gatekeepers that won't allow us to be who we truly need to be? And how do we get the average Bahamian out of the lower needs category and into a higher sense of self-actualization? We're going to take a quick break. If you want to call me about any of this, we'll still take those calls. And we'll talk a little bit in the second segment. I'm going to touch on our men. Happy Father's Day coming up. Some tips for our guys in the audience. All right, so we'll be right back on The Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. D. Archer.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
Oh, and welcome back to The Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. Denotha Archer. The first segment of the show, we talked a lot about purpose, self-actualization, and breaking the glass ceilings here in the Bahamas. How do we as Bahamians move beyond this stagnant position that we seem to be in and just, you know, be able to reach for the stars and achieve the things that we really want to achieve? I hear very bright Bahamians every day wanting to do more and more things. And some of it's getting accomplished, but overall, we know that it's really difficult to make moves in this country, to move from one level to the next. We want to see everyone in their highest state of being. And so that's very important. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And I agree with the ad. If you want to be a part of the show, you want to support in any way, you're going to give us a call either at 326-1521, or you can send me a direct email. That's drdr.darchercartwright@gmail.com. We have another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Dr. Archer.
Hey, how you doing?
Your first time caller. I was just talking to
a cousin or something of yours. She was telling me about you. We're having a good conversation about you at a Santa meeting I was at, man. It was pretty good, you know. So, you know, I meet people all the time and they always say, you're like the guy who calls your show, right? 52. So you're a little bit of a star yourself, 52.
I started to go to dreadlocks since the pandemic.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can see you might recognize me because I was hurt by what's going on in the world, and so This show kind of moved me, and I'm glad I listened and called in rather after some people had commented. You know, I always hold Dr. Myers highly, right? And as I think about him, sometimes I just think suspicious about a lot of things, right? I always used to listen to him. I disagreed with him about once. And a lot of stuff that he said I knew, but he's very, very philosophical. He's very, very broad-minded. He's impressive to me, I say the least, but... the clip that you played with him, it actually, he's so aphoristic. I was like, wow, I wish I had a chance to talk with him. Like, you know what I mean? Just like, because it really hit me right to the spot. So it's like just angering me with this knowledge, you know, and a lot of people, they're cursed. Somebody told during the pandemic, they said they don't want to hear from 52, he's cursed with knowledge. And these are the type of jokes they were making about me, right? But, maybe Dr. D, the leaders of this country and they say we have a national plan, maybe the leaders need self-actualization. You don't think so? The country needs self-actualization.
I think so.
Huh?
I do think so. You know, I think that is, and that's what I was kind of alluding to, that it's not just the average Bahamian, but it's the people that are in charge. And if they're not in a state to be the best that they can be.
The problem is with somebody like me, right? I'm not even a society person. You know, I'll share this. Let me see. Let me get it, because I want to get this. The thing is, for people, when you look at life and you see that you have a level of consciousness, I didn't ask for this, Dr. D. It just happens to have it, and I just meditate, and then it makes me angry because I know BS when I hear it. And I'm hearing BS all day, left, right, and center, even as far as, for me, Dr. D, it's quite overt or clear that the leaders really never really wanted to empower Bahamians. Individualism as the order of the day. So I don't want them to believe for 1 minute when I sit back and really in retrospect. You know, retrospect gives you a more panoramic view of everything. Even if it's not actually panoramic, you know what I mean, in a sense. So if it's not actually seeing things, it's actually feeling and learning things as you go on. This country, for me, leaves little to be desired for a conscious person. Now, there's a guy who calls in. He said, oh, well, you know, you could trade Forex. I have a cousin that does Forex. I had a conversation with him because I was intrigued by it and I wanted to do it a couple of years ago. And he's willing to teach me. And so I look at all of the opportunities we have, and the opportunities are quite narrow. And so what has happened now is that once you have not made it, people tend to be snobbish and look down at you. But they never looked at, we haven't done any post-observational studies of the pandemic, how it did, there's any data on how it affects small business and people. There's nothing being done. You see, the level of consciousness is scary for me because then, like, it has to bring anger. And anger brings danger. So I agree with Dr. Myers Monroe. But anger brings danger because I spoke with Howard yesterday, and this is what I liken the world to be. Just as it was in the slavery days, it was a problem when a slave probably could have read, and then he could have carried information to other slaves, and he was what they call smart, so he was a problem. So it's no different than the 5% on earth trying to enlighten the 95%. And so we look at the Machiavellian concept of divide and rule and how the world is run, and it's really, really sad the direction the world is going in. But then Albert Einstein once said, those who run with the crowd and conform to the crowd will never rise above the crowd. And so I even have a problem with self-actualization because I don't believe I have reached my potential because I've rebelled against society and the status quo and those in the know. I once had a problem, a very close family member of mine, we had a fallen over a very nice piece of property off the airport road, just in, and I was upset. And the person is very close to me, dear, and I said, you know, if this could happen, then vanity has distracted mankind, and it causes schism, and we have lost our way. The humanitarian journey is sad for somebody like me, but I have to survive. You know, I have a 10-month-old son. He's 10 months now. Yo. Yeah, I say you have a 10-month-old son, right? I have a 10-month-old son, right? And so the journey is very hard because I have no focus is never on me, and I have a 7-year-old daughter on Dr. D. The repercussions on small businesses, the repercussions on COVID science, the post-observations, that nothing is being done to enhance people or to bring out information to the public. You can't get information on nothing, anything in this country. And even with transnational companies and billionaires coming into the country and meeting with our politicians, and there's no oversight and judiciary. That creates a huge problem for somebody like me. So everything is a farce. Everything is a farce. Healthcare, like C. Allen said, we have a crisis. We have crises, I should say, and then we all over from financial, social, health. It's an ecosystem of crises, and that's just the way it is. You know, so I just don't know what to say. It's a state of hopelessness, despair, and learned helplessness. Bless up.
Okay, thank you, 52. Thanks for calling. Yeah, and I think, you know, once we are stuck in this system of crisis, I call it orchestrated chaos in a sense, because we know that there are solutions to problems, and we see that we're dealing with the same problems over and over again, you know, and we're not getting the fixes that we require. So that's why I call it orchestrated chaos. You know, we can't, as human beings, as individuals, as a nation, move forward because of that, because we're constantly in survival mode. We're constantly dealing with crisis. We're constantly dealing with a health crisis, a financial crisis. You know, they're not fixing things. And you made a great point about not going back and analyzing what's happened. You know, they shut down the world for the pandemic, but yet there's no postmodern. I mean, people are putting out studies and saying, you know, this didn't work, that didn't work. But where is that global, initiative to say, hey, look, we're not going to do things like that again, or this is how this affected that, and we need to put, you know, safety nets in place for businesses, and we can't have this level of lack of concern of what our policies and the things that we do affect the individual, the businesses, people's lives. You know, and that's the critical thing right there. And I think it's allowed people to see into the minds of our policymakers and our leaders and realize that they really aren't in tune with the needs of the everyday person. And because of that, we're going to have issues, because if you're following a global agenda, if you're following an elitist agenda that only a small subset of people can benefit from or are interested in, you're going to create this cycle of crisis. And maybe it's something that's meant for that they prefer, because a lot of people find opportunities in crisis. But what does that pan out to be? We all have to live in this small nation. And so we all have to deal and reap with the consequences of what's happening. The amount of social ills and crimes, crime that goes on in this country is just unbelievable. And everyday things are going up because we have kind of sold our nation in a sense to, you know, to the world. And we haven't put anything in place to make sure that our people are keeping up. Inflation is escalating. You know, $100 5 years ago versus today, it's insane, the cost of things. It really is. And so it's hard for businesses, it's hard for individuals, and this pushes people where, when they're in that area where they have to just kind of focus on their physiological needs, they're not in a state to do anything for themselves and others. What kind of society can we build in crisis mode? Not the one that is ideal, not the one that will benefit our children and create the safe environments that we require. We need to start solving issues. We need to start solving critical issues. We had a show on education. You know, we talked about a lot of things that are missing in the education system. Simple things that can be done to just change that whole system, and that would affect the lives of every Bahamian child. Why aren't we focused on those things? Why aren't we focused on the things, the little things that will improve our healthcare system from the bottom up? We can do grand things and open up new hospitals and stuff like that. But what about the basic things that we require to make things work? Why aren't we going for that low-hanging fruit to just make our country better tomorrow? You know, we could keep on doing promises and lofty goals and all this stuff like that, but our country needs those benefits today. I think a lot of things in 6 months could be solved. No political will. No drive. And I think 52 made a really excellent point that sometimes the people that we put in place have not reached self-actualization for themselves and are perhaps not living in their own purpose. And therefore, they cannot produce the value that we need in order to have the kind of country that we wanted. So I know I was supposed to talk about men's health today, but this has been on my mind and in my thoughts as I move through the Bahamas. And I move through different bubbles in this country. So I know that there is great wealth moving through the country. But I also see a lot of poverty, a lot of crisis, and a lot of people who are simply in survival mode. And it's almost kind of dangerous. It's dangerous because we're living every day and every moment just kind of hoping for the next moment to be a little bit better. You know, and this causes cracks in your culture, in your societal norms, because people, when pushed against the wall, are going to do what they need to do to survive. And that's not the way to live. It's not God's purpose for us. He wants us to live in abundance, right? Not in a state of scarcity. It's a mental and physical unhealthy state to be. And if your mental and physical state aren't aligned, you know, you can't be healthy in so many aspects of your life, financial, social, spiritual. It's all not balanced. And balance is really the key to life. And so, Bahamians, I hope all of you the best in everything that you do. But we have to wake up. We have to look at this country and we have to make some changes. We have to demand a little bit more. I know that most Bahamians are extremely passive. And you might say, we're not passive, Dr. Archer. When I talk to non-Bahamians who come into this country, they are extremely passive in a certain manner in terms of demanding change and wanting more. We're so aligned with sometimes leadership that we allow people to do things or to not do things and which are not going to benefit the country. And so we have to separate that, and we have to realize that it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to demand more. And it's okay to have expectations of our leaders. It's only up to us to hold their feet to the fire. We give them a long time to do it. But we have a small amount of people that are controlling a large amount of the economy over and over and over again. And there's no room for the rest of us if we don't make noise about that. And so I hope that we all would wake up, because I want to see a prosperous Bahamas. I want to see a Bahamas where we are fulfilled, where we live in joy and harmony and love and excitement, where we can all have an opportunity to fulfill our purpose, because we are great and wonderful people. I think we are in a blessed part of the world. And God would not have blessed us with a beautiful country like this if he didn't want us to live in the abundance that we have all around us. And so we can create a paradise for foreigners, but we should also enjoy a paradise of our own. And so that is kind of what I want for us. And I hope that you guys share in that. And I hope you share this video today, this clip, if you're watching online, because I think as Bahamians, we need to wake up. We have to want more. We have to have a greater desire to be out of crisis mode. And I know that we can do it through innovation, through passion. And what I think Miles means is to use your energy positively. The things that make you angry, these are the things that you should work towards solving and making better for yourself, your family, and our community. So I want to thank you, everybody, for listening to me tonight. We didn't get to our other topic. We really got into that. I want to thank all the callers that came through. And maybe we'll talk about it next week. I want all the gentlemen, I hope you have a great Father's Day. If you're a good father, you deserve it. And I'm here with the doctors in with me, Dr. D. I'll see you all next week. Brought to you by Medical Concierge Services. Good night.